What up, y'all? It's your boy Kev on stage, and I want to tell you about Black Married and Debt Free. Okay, they're a couple that paid off $110,000 in debt in 2017, and now they want to educate and inspire millennial couples to do the same. So what I want y'all to do is subscribe to their page. Go on YouTube, go on Instagram, and get the following going at Black Married Debt Free. It's everywhere, all right? So if y'all don't want to be broke no more, you want to be debt free in victory. Then go follow them, Google them, look them up, and see what they're talking about, because don't nobody want to be broke. You feel me?
What's going on, everybody? This is Marcus, and I'm here with my lovely wife,
Shira.
And we would like to welcome you to another episode of the Black Married and Debt Free podcast. Welcome home for our family, and welcome for our first time listeners. Shira, I am beat. I am tired. We had a crazy weekend, but a great weekend. How are you feeling?
I'm doing good. You know, it's Sunday evening.
Yes.
And like you said, there were a lot of things on our calendar this week.
Was there?
This weekend. But we were able to see some family, some friends. And though I am exhausted, it was all worth it.
Yeah. I think that's a great way to describe this weekend. Shia, I want to talk about this, though. You know, we paid off our debt. We immediately started contributing to our retirement, started investing in out-of-state real estate. Y'all know the story. Y'all know the vibes. And one thing we didn't really prioritize in all that is to stop and smell the roses and stop and go on some vacations and self-care. You know, we could always be better about that, right? We did one great vacation last year, our first vacation in a long time to Hawaii, and then that was great. And we're yearning to go back. We're yearning to do something like that again. But you know what I've noticed, Shire, is that Gen Z seems to always be vacationing, right? They're always in Dubai in these nice places, Belize and Cabo and all this. How are they doing this, Shire? And how can I be down? You know what I'm saying? That's what I want to know. So I need your help with this one, Shire. What you got for us?
Yes. Well, hopefully we're going to find out. We're taking a look at this article on CNBC. And it's titled, Gen Z's Don't Have a Lot of Money, But They're Traveling Anyway. Wow. It says that Gen Z's aren't easing into the travel market. They're exploding into it.
Wow.
And despite their youth and comparatively low income, more than half of American Gen Z adults are frequent travelers, having taken three or more leisure trips in the past year.
Must be nice. All right. Well, I think the first thing that and I'm sure this will, you know, the article is going to talk about this, but Shire, how are they even getting the time off of work to do that? Because I think that's one of our biggest things. It's getting everyone's schedules together. You know, I guess Gen Z a lot of times are single people, so maybe it's a little easier. But all right, I want to hear this. I want to hear how they're doing this.
Yes, I mean that's a valid point. But they said that they're traveling more because it is more mainstream, and that they are broadly exposed to travel inspiration through social media.
That's facts.
Yeah. So there's a quote that's shared from this consulting group that says, in short, they're being raised in a society where travel is more prioritized than it was for past generations. Mm.
If we could stop there real quick, Shire. Remember I was just telling you, I was thinking we were at your mom's, and I was telling you like how my family, we never spent the night anywhere in my whole childhood. We never like stayed at a hotel for overnight. It was only that we would go there and come back, and like we would go to like Reno from Sacramento, or we would go to like Great America and like in San Jose or whatever, and then we would come right back home. Do you think that was because my parents? Well, no one really was really exposed to travel like that. Like, it wasn't no internet. There was no, you know, easy way to book tickets and all this. I don't even know how they booked tickets back in the day. So how did they do that? On a phone?
I don't know. You know, but another thing that you brought up was, how did you know where to go?
Yes.
Because, like, having a GPS like in our phone is like second nature to us now. And that's a luxury that they didn't have. They didn't have, you know, Yelp or, you know, all of, you know, social media, like the article mentions and like all these other, you know, places where you can learn about places to visit, read reviews in different places. Like they just didn't have that. And so though your family was going up the street and coming right back home, I'm sure at the time that was really big for you.
Yes.
And for your parents, they were probably thinking, our parents never did this for us. So, so it just seems like, you know, with each generation, we kind of
get more exposed.
We get more exposed. Mm-hmm. We take, you know, a step out, you know.
Yeah.
But Gen Z, they're just on a whole nother level.
Yeah.
At this point.
Yeah.
And it looks like social media is really playing into their decisions to prioritize travel.
Yes.
Yeah. So another section in the article says big plans, little money. Gen Z's, those are individuals who are born between 1997 and 2012.
Okay.
They're traveling more than Gen Xers and baby boomers and are on par with millennials. But I think they might be exceeding us a bit.
Yeah.
So it says, unlike past generations, Gen Zs aren't waiting until they have high paying jobs or a nest egg of savings to travel.
Okay.
Rather, they're finding ways to fit it in their budgets now. So what are your thoughts on that? Because I think, especially when we were in our journey to pay off debt, if we had a choice to like travel or prioritize saving or paying off debt, I feel like we would lean more towards paying off debt and saving versus the travel.
Yes, Sharon. Now, this is a big, I wasn't sure if this was going to come up later, but let's just go there now because I think this is a big thing. I honestly think the best way to do it is to find a balance between the two. But I think just speaking specifically to what they're doing and how they say they're just prioritizing trips over finances, right? I think it's going to come back to bite them. I think it's a little, it's a little bit of the like the naive, because all young people have that, right? When you're young,
right?
You feel like you're going to be healthy forever. You feel like you're going to figure it all out at some point. Mm-hmm. You don't, you're not really thinking about 5, 10, 15 years down the road until you're really like deep into your 30s and then you start thinking, you know, start deep getting further into adulthood and you start saying, okay, I got a plan. But I think when you're in your early to mid 20s, like these Gen Z, man, they just like, hey, man, I'm going to figure that out later. Right now, I'm going to just do what I do. And I do think it's going to go back, come back to bite them, Shy, because me and you are seeing that in our own lives that, man, if we would have just started 5 years earlier or 10 years earlier, man, we would be here by now. And so we finally got it right. But just think about where we would be if had we done it at the age of some of these Gen Zers, right? Instead of traveling and stuff. But I don't know. What do you think, Shire? What do you think? Because I feel like you may have a different outlook on this.
I mean, I think that's a valid point that, you know, in 20 years, 40 years, the topic of conversation could be, these
struggling Gen Zer, how Gen Z is struggling to survive,
to save for retirement,
to save for retirement,
you know. So I don't really know. I think that I like the idea of balance, but how do you balance? Like, how much, you know, should you have saved before you take a trip?
Right.
You know, like, so I think that we say balance, but not everyone knows what that looks like, and it might look different for different people. I do like the idea of having life experiences and different adventures. I'm pretty much a homebody, but the times that we have traveled are some of the most cherished times of my life.
Yes.
And so I think that it's a great thing that they are traveling, right? But you want to do so responsibly.
Right.
And a conversation that we've been having in our own personal finances is, are we saving too much? So much so that we are not having experiences that we can afford to have, but we're trying to save so much and we uptight and it feels like we're broke and ain't got nothing.
Yep.
So And then you have, you know, that's one end of the spectrum. And then you have this other, group. They ain't got the money, but they doing it. You know what I'm saying?
right. Yeah. It's, I don't know, Shy. It's tough, man. But yeah, some would say maybe the balance is, maybe doing the whole, like I said, like we're looking into like the whole travel miles and managing miles and building travel points. And maybe someone would say, well, that's your happy medium where you can do that stuff like
looking
that.
Looking for discounts and discounts stuff. So that's hack. Exactly. Like, can I use a hack to travel? But I mean, you can use hack, but you still gonna have to come out of pocket something. Yeah, usually. Okay. So the article does share that only 11% of Gen Zs who travel frequently come from households earning $100,000 or more annually. Mm. And most, 61%, say they earn less than $50,000 per year.
Ooh. How are you traveling with less than $50,000 a year that's just enough to make to help you live?
Just to get right.
That's interesting, Shire.
Right. And another thing that I found interesting is that, you know, of course, they talk about how Gen Zs, they do their best to find deals when they travel.
Okay.
Sometimes they'll look for the cheapest option. Now, that's something I don't do. Like, if I'm going to a hotel and I know I'm going on a trip, I don't look for the cheapest place.
Okay.
You know,
you don't, Shire.
I'm looking at stars, reviews, and I'm willing to pay more. But obviously, I'm not a Gen Z and I'm at a different place in my life. But Gen Z, they are prioritizing that. They're looking for cheapest options when traveling.
Yeah.
You know, so for example, if you're going with a group, you might want to get a whole Airbnb or a whole house to yourself, but you know, they'll settle for a room in a house, you know? So
they'll do the hostel type vibes.
Right.
Like when they just staying in this room for a night and then the next night they're backpacking to another location. And you know, so like, I do feel like Gen Z are more experimental with it.
Yes.
Where we's like, yo, let me get a 5-star hotel. I need a rental car when I'm there. I need this, I need that. Like, that's kind of being a more of a seasoned adult. You want more amenities, whereas young people were willing to just kind of rough it out a little bit just to say they did it, you know?
Yeah. And another thing that is interesting in this article, it says that 46% said they expect to get financial help from their parents when it comes to, I guess, their travel and other expenses.
Oh, Richard.
I know, right?
Wow.
But I mean, maybe that's a positive thing if you got it.
Okay, well, we talking about two different things then, because do you think that they're looking for help from their parents? Do you think they live at home?
I mean, they
could be.
We're looking at the age range, they're still relatively young.
Well, that's a whole different ball game then, because I feel like you got that support system to where $50,000 might actually be more than enough for you to live, or it is more than enough for you to live if your parents are supporting you with letting you live at home, or even supporting you with a little allowance. I don't know how it works, but that kind of makes sense then. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it can.
Yeah.
But then the language is that they expect.
No, that's crazy.
They expect to get. So that's crazy. Not necessarily that they are getting. So I don't know. It just could be how they worded it.
Okay. Now, let me ask you this, Shire. Your Taylor goes away to college, you know, 18. She comes back for the summer, freshman and sophomore year, and she wants to go to Cabo with her girlfriends. Are you going to let her go, or are you going to put a couple dollars in her pocket? What's the vibes? What are you doing?
I don't know. I don't know. That's like so far in the future. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Knowing you're going to do it. Like, all right, no, you.
Look, I'm coming too. Okay. Right. Okay. Also, they found that 83% of young adults said they plan to cut back on non-essential spending. So think about like some of the luxuries that you enjoy, your occasional coffee.
Oh, yeah.
The things that, you know, things that you get that you don't have to have.
Okay.
But you get them because you can, you know. So it sounds like they're willing to cut back on those things so that they can save money for traveling, according to the survey.
So that's really interesting because, Shia, I feel like we cut back on those things because when I just try to think of the things that I get that I do just because they're not, the list is very small and your list is very small that likewise, but we're cutting back to invest and save and stuff. They're cutting back to do trips.
To travel.
Like the reality is like me and you could be these hyper travel people right now if we really wanted to. We could literally be traveling every multiple times a month if we wanted to.
Are you teasing me?
But we wouldn't be.
I'm like, where are you going with this? Do you have a stash of money I don't know about?
Well, we wouldn't be able to invest into our future though if we did that, you know.
But see that's the thing.
Okay.
Right, because you're going very
extreme.
You're like, honey, we could travel, but we wouldn't be able to save. But you were just talking about balance the beginning of the podcast.
Okay.
And so that's why I say the tricky thing is balance.
Yes.
Like you literally just said you could do this or this.
Well, okay, so we wouldn't be able to travel multiple times a month.
If
we wanted to save, but we could travel a little bit more and save a little less. So that would be kind of be the balance. You know what I mean? You would be saving less and traveling a little more than we currently do. But it's just like, you know, me and you, Shire, we're kind of like extremists.
No, I think you're extreme.
I definitely am. I definitely am. I'm like, if I'm going to do this, like there's very little gray with me. And I think, well, I'm kind of getting off on a tangent here, but I think that we've even talked about that in regards to like marriage and discussions. You'll be like, you're more nuanced. You're more, Marcus, well, is this and this? Well, I didn't say this. And I'm more like, yo, Shire, but is it A or B? And you're like, well, let's talk about A and B. You know what I'm saying? And so for me, even in this topic, it's like either I'm going to be a vacationer or I'm going to be a super saver. And I can't really, I feel like the middle is just like you're not doing anything 100% when you're in the middle. Why am I like that? Is that bad?
I don't know why you're like that.
Okay.
But I'm glad that you have an awareness that
I do.
Is your stance on certain topics.
I can't do middle, man.
But do you think that there is a middle?
Yes, there absolutely is.
Okay, that's progress. But so they're traveling, they're willing to cut back, they don't have to stay at a 5-star resort. I guess these are also tips too, because I was, because we talked about, well, how do they do it?
That's a lot of
So, and I guess one of the questions is, can you travel and still save and invest at a rate that you're satisfied with? That's my question to you. What do you think, Marcus?
I think the answer is no. You can't.
Now,
you can't do it at the rate you're currently doing.
Well, yes, but I don't think that was the question.
Okay, tell me the question.
The question is, can you travel and still save at a rate that you can feel good about?
Okay. Yes, I think you can. I think that, you know, there's a happy medium there. Like, for me, man, I feel like I don't want to contribute less than 30% of our income to retirement. You know, a lot of people say, you know, you pay off your debt and start contributing 15% to your 15% of your income to retirement and you'll be a millionaire. And it's like, okay, that sounds amazing. But let's break that down. With that 15%, when will I be a millionaire? Number one, a lot of times it's in your 60s. And then are we talking a multimillionaire? Because I'm gonna keep it 100 with y'all. $1 million ain't gonna cut it. 1.5 ain't really gonna cut it. You need to be a multimillionaire. You need to have a multimillionaire trajectory to if you really wanna this whole generational wealth thing we talking about, $1 million ain't gonna do it. Let's just keep it all the way real, Shire. So
For
most people.
And it also depends.
Okay.
Because some people have a pension that's providing a guaranteed income.
That's fair.
Some, like, everyone has different living situations. They're located in different areas. If you want to stay in high-priced California,
And some people make a lot of income, so 15% is a lot.
Yes, but that statistic of 15% really applies to a younger person.
Okay.
So,
right.
I wish I had it. Oh, I wish I remembered like the number, but it was in their early 20s. That 15% rule is golden. If you're starting
early enough,
starting early. But what happened was, I would say that we were not on our finance
vibes
journey in our 20s.
Nope.
We weren't there.
Yeah.
And then, you know, then we start focusing on debt.
Yes.
And that kind of goes into that tunnel vision thing that we were just talking about.
Yes.
You have that. I had that when it comes to paying off debt. Mm-hmm. And there was a period of about 2.5 years where we didn't contribute to retirement because we were focused on those things. So when you go through your 20s and you're not thinking about your finances, mm-hmm. and
your early 30s, you're paying your debt off.
You're paying your debt off, your student loan debt. But you could have... We could have saved for retirement, you know, and I do recommend that folks consider doing that.
Yes.
I'm not saying that, you know, a lot of people say, well, I've done it. I have no regrets and I would do it all over again. You know, that's come on now.
It's not us.
Come on. Mm-hmm. You would do everything the exact same. Right. Really? Okay. I wouldn't when it comes to my finances. So what you're describing is our situation.
Yes.
Where we didn't really have that financial foundation until we were older. And so that's why we have to save so much,
right?
Because we're playing catch up
in
a lot of areas.
And I think that plays in the back of my mind. So I feel like, to answer your question, 30% for me is like, I don't want to dip in that much lower than that. Now, but if I say, but I also want to be a traveler. I want to travel. I want to do Hawaii once a year for sure and another small trip. I'm going to do 2 trips a year where we get on a plane and we go somewhere for a week. That's going to cause me to contribute more like 20%. You know what I'm saying? Or more like 22 or 20,
He's,
you know.
He's not doing the math, y'all. Just so
I'm not
y'all
doing
know.
The math.
He's not
I'm
sitting just, here with a calculator. He's he's giving an estimate of what he, okay.
Yeah.
I'm like, you're a math whiz.
So it's like, am I okay with that? You know what I mean? What's that look like long term? How many years do I tack on to the back end?
Well, maybe you're not tacking on any years. I mean, so that you might not be tacking on any years. You don't know.
Shire's an optimist. I like that.
Well,
like
I think you have to, it goes back to that whole discussion of balance.
Okay.
Because we don't know what the future holds.
Shoot, I could be gone in 10 years.
You know, and I don't want my whole life to be, I'm not here to be a money making machine. Okay? There's a whole earth out here. I believe God made the earth. Okay, I'm not, you know, but if you believe Big Bang, that's you. Hey, mm-hmm. I'm sure it was a bang. Okay. You know, but I you want to have experiences. You want to have lived a rich life.
Mm.
And I think that there are some things that you can't necessarily put a price on.
Yeah.
I'm not here to just make money. That's not, I mean, there's more to life than that. And I think that it is important to find a middle ground, because one of the reasons why the Gen Zers prioritizing travel is for mental health. Like, that's what they say.
Man, they big on that mental health, ain't they? I ain't mad.
They're big on that mental health. And, you know, I think we should be big on that as well.
Self-care. All that
self-care.
Stuff. Like, these words didn't exist when we were, like, teenagers. So, shout out to Gen Z for prioritizing that,
you know, I think we can learn from all generations and eras and, you know, but just being able to take that, your financial foundation,
yes,
your good habits, but then also saying, okay, I can still have good financial habits and I can go somewhere.
Yeah.
I don't have to be stuck in the house all the time. You know, maybe you're not going to Dubai. Did you say Dubai earlier?
Yeah.
Dubai is not even on my bucket list.
It's where the rich go to play. Nah, I want to check it out for sure.
But that's probably because of social media, and that's why the Gen Zers are out here traveling now. But anywho, I'm sure there's cool things in Dubai. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think that it's good to have experiences. Mm-hmm. And it's good to prioritize things that, you know, are hard to, I guess, put a price on.
Right, right.
Your kids need those experiences too. Kid needs those experiences. Because you talked about what travel was like with your family.
Yeah.
We went up the street, we came home.
Yeah.
So what will our kids say about us if we just say, we're not going to take you anywhere because we want to save money?
Right. That's a good point. That's a really great, excellent point. And then I always say this too, Shire's like, you know, let's do this little exercise to everyone who's listening, okay? Okay. And it may be different for everyone, but, you know, just kind of just feel where you are right now, like physically. And just, you know, do you feel any aches? Do you feel any pains? Maybe some of us do, you know, but for the most part, feel pretty good, right? You know what I mean? I don't feel like too many, like a nagging injury or a sore knees or hips or whatever. Or if you do, maybe it's not as bad right now, right? Think about like a nagging ailment or something that will prohibit you from being able to travel, a sickness or something like that. And it's like, when you think about it like that, this is like, yeah, this is the time I feel the best that I'm gonna feel right now. Like, this is the time when I need to enjoy and travel and do things. You sitting over here waiting, you know, the body's only going to get a little more weak. It's going to get only going to get older as we age, stiff, you know, so you're not going to feel, I don't want to say you're not going to feel better, because I mean,
because you can transform your body,
your mind. But you know, you're right, Shire, to try to put these things off until your 70s and 60s. 70?
I'm not Marcus.
That went too far with that one?
I don't know. When I'm 70, I'm going to be at home watching children, watching grandbabies, watching the neighbors' babies.
Or there's that, Shire, where you've built up this, we just don't travel thing, right? And then you're in your 60s, you can travel.
Yeah.
And you don't.
You don't.
Because you're just like, travel? I've never done that. What's the point? You're missing out. You're really missing out. So
yeah,
that's some good points. You know, we can learn some things from Gen Z.
Yeah, I think you can learn some things from Gen Z. And, you know, Gen Z can probably learn some things from us. Yes. And we can learn from each other.
Yes.
And we can grow and we can get better and all of that.
Yeah. So we want you guys to chime in on this and let us know, can there be a balance between travel and financial financial literacy, or
reaching
your financial goals. Like,
yes,
can there be a balance? Yes or no? We want to know. So we want y'all to hit us up in the review section of wherever you listen to this podcast. We're checking those on a weekly. And while you're doing that, just go ahead and leave the 5 stars, you know what I'm saying, to be nice to us. We really appreciate it. Shire, do you got any final thoughts on this? I guess my last question for you is, are we going to be traveling this year? Are we getting on a plane? Somebody's plane this year.
I don't know if we're getting on a plane. We will travel.
Okay.
We anniversaries next month. Mm-hmm, we're going to do a little something.
Got a little something booked. You know what I'm saying?
I hope we get on a plane, but I don't know.
Yeah.
We just, you know, might do little things around town.
We're going to create experiences.
Yeah, create experiences. But I think this podcast has us thinking. I can see you over there thinking.
I'm thinking, boy. I'm thinking. I got to get out.
And I like that.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, y'all. Well, we hope you enjoyed this episode of the Black Married Debt-Free Podcast. And we're going to holler at y'all on the next one. Peace.
Bye.